Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to be here with you on another one of these exciting Business of Digital podcasts. And I got to tell you, today, I'm really looking forward to this one. We got, you know, we've been doing this a while now, Dave. By the way, hi Dave, how's it going?
It is going.
So, just for all the listeners that have been with us for the last couple of years, we are hitting a milestone, and we are at the 100th episode. And so we decided for a series what we want to do for the, we're going to call it the 100 episode series. And I'm really excited about our guest today, and we're going to be kind of kicking it old school, if you will. And no, Matt McGee, I'm not calling you old. I said we're going to be kicking it old school. And so I would like to give a warm, special welcome to my good friend and bud, Mr. Matt McGee. How's it going, bud?
It's going very well. How are you?
You know, I couldn't be better, and I'm excited to chat with you about some fun stuff today. And I do appreciate you taking the time to sit and join us on this and share with us your history and thoughts and everything that we're going to be getting into. So, thank you.
you're welcome. Let's do it. I'm sure that I was one of the first people that came to mind when you guys decided to do a history old person OG SEO podcast. So I'm both honored and disturbed by that.
Yes. We were talking before we started recording about, you know, how old are we? I guess, you know, that meme that you were talking about, Dave, maybe you can share. What was it?
I see so much stupid stuff on the internet. I see great stuff too, but mostly stupid stuff. Thank you, internet. You're awesome. I was how old when I discovered that, you know, you're supposed to open a banana this way or whatever. And I think the best example for me, even though I was a web developer prior, but when I went full-time kind of SEO, was I am Florida update old.
All right. So Dave is Florida update old.
Kid,
so,
you're a so, kid, Dave.
I am a kid. I'm generation two, really.
So McGee, how X old are you?
I'm before Google. I remember worrying about AltaVista and Excite and Lycos. And I remember that you were like the bomb at SEO if you could get your site to rank in all three of those at the same time.
Yep.
So
so you are AltaVista old.
I'm AltaVista old, I guess, yeah.
That's awesome. That's about where I am. I started building my first websites back in 1997, and man, those were the days, just being able to change a title tag and ranking, and wow.
Yeah,
that takes
good,
me
good
back.
Times.
So good times, exactly. So I would love for, you know, again, we don't really have, we have some questions that we definitely want to ask, but I guess the main point of these, Matt, is we kind of just want to, you know, we really do want to kick it old school and kind of go down a memory lane and just kind of, you know, just pick your brain and just kind of, you know, just share your thoughts on the industry. I guess, like, you know, to the people that are fairly new to this industry, you know, what was your job like 15 years ago? What was it like when you first got into this space? And just share us your thoughts.
I mean, I think it was different 15 years ago than it was even 20 years ago.
Well, let's go back that far then, 20.
Okay. Yeah, well, 20 years ago, so late 1990s, that's when I guess I would say that I started doing SEO, because I was like you, Matt, I was building websites. I got out of TV radio in 1997 and had been building websites as a hobby for a few years by then, and then I got a job with our local ISP, who was also doing web hosting and building websites, and they needed a designer, and so that's when I started doing that for clients. It was, you know, 1997, 1998, and that's, you know, it was AltaVista, it was Excite, it was Lycos, it was, like, Google wasn't even a thing then. The Yahoo directory was huge then, right?
I remember Netscape, too, back in...
Right, there was the Netscape directory. It was just really, really different, and it was crazy, and, like... like directories were really big. You needed to get listed in all the different directories that you could and all that sort of stuff. And I remember just, you know, like we built some nice websites for our clients, and then the clients eventually, you know, would come back to us a month or two later and say, you know, we really love our website, but nobody's finding it. So I sort of had to figure out, all right, well, how do I get people to visit these websites? And that was when I stumbled on Danny Sullivan's Search Engine Watch, when he was doing it just as a one-man band kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so just started reading the articles and self-teaching and learning everything I could. And then you find Webmaster World, and you find the Search Engine Watch forums. And, you know, that sort of was my introduction to the whole SEO community and the sharing that went on. And, yeah, I mean, it was really different before. You know, once Google came around, then things started to change, because then you had to worry about, you know, the Google Dance every month and the different updates like Dave talked about with Florida. So, yeah, it was just a really, really interesting and different time, you know, and it changed so dramatically, you know, from year to year back then.
So, you know, thinking about, or Dave, did you have something you wanted to pop in and ask?
I'm just curious. Does anyone here remember who the heck named Google Dance? Like, who called it a Google Dance? Like, who first
did it? Who gets credit for that?
Where it came from?
That's a good question. I had to guess, it came from Webmaster World, because
probably
that's where, like, every month there would be a new post saying that, you know, the dance or the update or whatever had started.
Because it wasn't always a dance. Sometimes it was more of a shakedown.
This is what I want to know. How did we go from
dance? Or a smackdown, depending on what you've been doing the last month.
A mosh pit.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, yeah. Actually, probably a mosh pit would be a better. Because even if you were standing off to the side, you were watching people get smashed. So
yeah.
I think a mosh pit is a much better analogy than, you know, a graceful dance. Like when I think of Annie Cushing's daughter, you know, dancing and stuff, and it's all like, you know, really smooth and choreographed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, this is more like, you know, a Slipknot mosh pit going on.
So how did we get from, you know, the Google Dance / Slipknot mosh pit to, you know, fluffy little animals?
Right.
I mean, where did that come from?
Yeah, well,
PR. Good PR. I don't know.
Good PR and just, you know, when they stopped doing, right, the monthly updates. When was that? That was probably 10 years ago, wasn't it?
It was a while ago now.
When they stopped, you know, the Google Dance stopped being a thing. They just said, you know, we're going to be updating the index constantly instead of once a month. And, you know, that was a big uproar, too. I mean, it was just... Yeah, that was crazy.
Raise your hand if you own a shirt that says Google Dance on it.
I do.
My hand's
not
raised.
Not anymore.
I do.
Mine is too small. It shrunk.
Sure, it shrunk.
Dude.
Well, that's, you know, man, just thinking back to those, you know, when you mentioned some of that stuff, it makes me think about, you know, just all the different memories. And so I just have a question, Matt, like, what would you say is like one of your earliest memories that excited you the most about this industry, and what made you want to get into it? And you know, we can kind of venture off into what you're actually doing today, because I think for, you know, a lot of our readers, they know that you're not in the trenches of the day-to-day SEO industry anymore, right, as you were. And so maybe just kind of share with us some of your earliest memories of what excited you about in the industry. And then maybe we could talk about how that maybe is still the same today, or how it's helped you in doing what you do today.
I mean, one of my earliest memories is definitely not the same today. That I can guarantee you, so we're not going to cross that bridge. But we had a client, this was when I was doing websites for the local ISP, and they came, and it was this older man and woman, probably in their 60s, and this was like 1999 or so. And he was a woodworker, right? A craftsman, really skilled with his hands. And he built, he made these incredible custom wood pens, right? Like executive gift type stuff that you would see now, just, you know, scattered all over the internet. But,
right,
you know, back then, 20 years ago, this was kind of new to the internet, and everything was new to the internet back then, I guess. But yeah, he got this wood that he would source all over the world, right, from Africa and Asia and Europe and all this sort of stuff. And he sourced this wood, and he'd then create these really just incredible looking custom pens, and he wanted to sell them online. And so we built our very first e-commerce site for him. Like I said, I think it was 99 or so, maybe 2000. And his wife, and he did this in his garage, right? And his wife, she was a painter, and she painted wood, or I guess they were wooden duck decoys.
Okay.
Right? And so, which the two things don't go together, but back in 1999, that didn't matter. You just
are we talking off. Like Duck Dynasty wood decoy things?
I don't know if we're talking Duck Dynasty. They were just these really, really intricately painted wooden ducks that you would put like on a table as a centerpiece, or you put out in your yard. Like, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know what the hell people did with them.
my mom had one on a table somewhere in her house.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
it. Probably was from them.
Maybe Marilyn sold it to her. So they wanted to sell all this stuff online. And so we had to build our very first e-commerce site, and I just remember this whole process of the programming team trying to figure out, you know, how an add to cart button works and what happens, you know, once they add it to cart and they want to take it out of the cart and all this. So it was just this very complicated, and we finally got the site launched, and we were super proud, and they were super happy. And it was, you know, really nice design and great photography, and everything was in place. But it was just like I mentioned, you know, 5 minutes ago, they eventually came to us and said, you know, hey, the site is really great. We love it. But we're just not getting enough orders for it to make sense. And, you know, this is these people, they were in their 60s and they're trying to retire and have a retirement income. And so, you know, this was their life kind of thing that were... Yeah, you know, I just
it's in your hand, so to speak.
Yeah, right. I felt a lot of pressure because, you know, if this didn't work, it was like, all right, what are you guys going to do next? And so they came to us and they said, you know, we're going to have to shut down in, you know, 3-4 months if things don't turn around and we don't start selling this stuff online. So, you know, what can we do? And I remember, like, you know, that was like the task. Well, let's get back together in like a week or so and we'll figure out what our plan is. And then I emailed them like a day or two later and I said, you know what? The Yahoo directory just started this thing where you can pay to get in. You can pay $199 to get in, or I think maybe it was $299 if you wanted like a fast review process or something like that. And I said, why don't we give this a try? It's kind of expensive, but why don't we give this a try, get the listing, and see if that, you know, increases sales. So they said, all right, let's do it. So we submit to the Yahoo directory. I don't remember if we did the $199 or the $299. But anyway, they got listed like a week later, and then sure enough, about a month after that, they came in and they said, you know what? In the last 30 days since we got in the Yahoo directory, we've had orders from 15 different countries, and business is going great, and this is going to really work for us. And they were just, you know, on cloud nine. And so I was on cloud nine, and that was think about it. Like one little listing in a directory, and it like changes two people's lives. And like, that's my favorite, like, early days story to talk about and to remember, because they were great people. I loved working with them. It was Jim and Marilyn, and they were just the nicest, most gentle people in the world. And just to be able to, you know, make a difference in somebody's life like that. And that has always been my favorite thing about doing SEO and websites, is that when you do it right, you guys have, I'm sure, have had similar experiences where, you know, you can change a client's life, right?
Yeah, and now I know why you're laughing, because, you know, I'm thinking about selling real estate from the Yahoo directory.
Right? As if.
Oh man, that's crazy. Well, that's fun. I appreciate you sharing that story, and yeah, like, so, again, same deal. Like, I got a handful of stories just like that, where it's interesting how something back then, like, even you mentioned the Yahoo directory, but I remember this one time with a company we were working with that we just weren't making any headway, and we somehow managed to get in the DMOZ directory, and I believe it was even before Google took it over, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Google eventually acquire DMOZ?
Did they? Somebody did. Was it Google?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was before they were acquired, and everybody's like, you got to get in DMOZ. And it was so hard because, you know, the editors and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I just remember, and I can't remember exactly what year it was, but I just remember we finally got them listed in the Yahoo or in the DMOZ directory. And it was like overnight, anything that was ranking on the third page was like number one.
Oh, wow.
And they were talking about how much like their traffic had increased and they're getting sales. And it was just like an amazing thing. And I remember just that good feeling. And that's kind of what got me excited for, you know, search engine optimization back in the day. I'm like, look, you can have such an impact from just like one little, you know, one powerful link or like changing one title tag or moving this here or there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. I totally forgotten about DMOZ. I used to be an editor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know how I qualified for that as an SEO. They kind of didn't do enough research on me, I guess.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
I think most of the editors were SEO people or PR people.
That's probably true.
Yeah, fast forward to 2019. You could submit your site to, you know, four aggregators and 200 directory sites. And if you get five visits in the next quarter.
Well, and I think that brings up a good kind of like, I don't know if you want to call it a segue, but I think it, you know, like we're here talking about like what a couple powerful directories did for us 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But like, and I think that's what like, that's the difference between really good SEOs and SEOs that are kind of stuck in the past or people that can't evolve because, you know, like I can't believe it when I get it, but I see emails for, I'm going to submit you to so many like business directories or this or that for X amount of dollars. And I'm like, dude, like 2000 called and they want their SEO back. But like, it's like that stuff doesn't work anymore. All you're doing is getting people in problems. And anyway, it's just kind of interesting how things evolved and, you know, how things evolve and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
blog comment spam still continues to flow in on a daily basis. So that
does
that
it.
That hasn't changed. So
that's super interesting. Yeah. So, I guess since we are talking a little bit about the history, maybe Matt just share, you know, for those that are, I guess, within the last couple of years, new to the industry that are listeners that may not know who you are and what you do, maybe give them a little bit of, I don't know if you want to do like your background, your work history, and kind of what you're up to these days.
Sure. I was, like I said, in 97, I started doing websites and SEO for the local company, and that lasted till 2006. And then I went to work for a giant company that was based in Seattle, doing SEO for them, a lot of local stuff for them. And that lasted till 2008, which is when I started. I kind of shifted in 2008 and started like my own consulting kind of stuff. And at the same time was doing part-time writing and work for Search Engine Land and then eventually Marketing Land and MarTech Today as it developed. And then around 2013, stopped doing consulting and started doing full-time stuff with Search Engine Land and Marketing Land. And that lasted until, when was it? Summer of 2017. And now, and since then, I have been doing, my wife's been a real estate agent for 15 plus years now. And so I am basically her marketing guy and working on, you know, business operations and all that sort of stuff. So I still, you know, I still do marketing now, but like you said earlier, I'm not like in the trenches of SEO. SEO is part of what I do, but, you know, also email marketing and social media and, you know, paid ads, paid social ads mostly, and, you know, customer management and lead gen and all that sort of stuff. So it's more, you know, whereas back in the day I was like very specific and focused on SEO for clients. Now SEO is just like one little part of it. And in real estate, it's kind of not all that important. So I kind of pay attention still to the SEO stuff, but I know that a lot of it is like passing me by because I don't care about all the really day-to-day changes and all this sort of stuff that used to, you know, that used to catch my attention.
Yeah, that's interesting. Super interesting. So I guess my question would be, like, do you miss it at all? Or are you, like, super happy where you're at and kind of where, you know, the evolution is and where it's brought you to what you're doing today?
Well, I mean, you know what I miss is the camaraderie of the industry.
Yeah.
Right? The most, like, when is the last time you and I hung out at a conference together. It's been years.
Yeah. And that does make me sad a little.
that was always like, I really enjoyed that. Just getting a chance, you know, because when I was with Third Door, you know, the SMX shows, it was a guarantee that I'd be at three shows a year at least. And then if I ended up going to any others, you know, that was just a little bonus. So it was just, you know, that the chance to just catch up face to face with people and hang out and just have good, you know, good meals and good times and good conversations. That's the thing that I miss the most. I don't miss at all the daily worrying about rankings and the daily worrying about, you know, what Google was changing today or tomorrow or all that sort of stuff. I always felt that there was way too much focus in the industry on that day-to-day kind of stuff, and there was always a need to, like, all right, everybody take a deep breath and step back and look at the big picture. And so being able to do that is really nice now.
Well, no, that's perfect segue into the question that I wanted to ask you about what's one piece of advice you'd give to anyone that's brand new to this industry, just with all 20 plus years experience, what you did to what you're doing now, someone's coming in, coming to these conferences, starting this camaraderie, you know, like all the stuff that we're talking about. What's your one piece of advice that you give them, that person?
I would first want to know what their plan or goal or whatever is. But in the big picture, I would say to stop worrying so much about Google and start worrying more about their customers.
I love it.
So, you know, I think I think that was sort of a thing that people started figuring out maybe 10 years or so ago, that, and there was somebody in the industry that even I think like did a blog post or had a saying or whatever, that if you focus on the user and you focus on your customer, Google will eventually figure out that you're doing what, you know, you're supposed to be doing, and Google doesn't want you focusing on them. You know, Google follows users, and so you have to follow users too. That sort of stuff. I just think that there's, you know, there's always been way too much, you know, hand wringing over, you know, these tiny changes, and just like, you know, relax. And does this really impact your customers and how you're serving them and how they are reaching their customers? So yeah, that's the kind of thing that. I hope in my SEO days that I was focused on more so than all the little intricate, you know, Google details.
Yeah, for sure. No, I love that advice. And I remember reading that article too, and I can't remember exactly who wrote it or whatnot, but I remember that specifically. And I remember it just kind of being one of those things like, you know, that I don't know how to kind of segue this into just some of my thoughts, but like that's kind of what we've always done, or like my thoughts and just like making sure that I'm worried about this customer first, and I'm going to do everything I can for them and to help them, you know, and answer the, you know, what are their problems, answer their questions, be the solution, you know, all those normal things. And then, you know, however it falls in with Google and what they do, then obviously we got to figure that stuff out. But that's great advice. So I don't know if Dave, do you have any questions for Matt before I start jumping into some of these next ones?
I was just going to say, I might even segue or leap into one of them. I think, Matt, you kind of alluded to it. You started in, you know, would you say radio, TV?
Yep. In the 90s, I was a TV sports anchor and had a radio sports call-in show.
And then you went into SEO, and now you're kind of in everything. I think what happens a lot, whether you're in-house, you get hired, you know, if you're straight out of school, you get hired as a PPC or a social media or an SEO or developer, and then you never work on any of the other teams. And you may, and depending on the size of the company, you might barely even talk to them. At an agency, you certainly never talk to other groups. You know, you are on the paid team. You do Facebook ads. You do LinkedIn. You do shopping paid, you do SEO, you're an account manager who maybe knows some, but I think, do you think someone starting out or even people that have been around for a couple of years would benefit? And you know, your current role is kind of in that range, but having the broad marketing and the broad digital online offline, I don't think a lot of people get that. I think they go so deep and down into one little tactic or one little vertical that they can't see anything else.
Yes. I kind of go back and forth on that topic, right?
The good and bad.
Yeah. I mean, this has been an education for me just this last year and a half working with my wife, because I never in the past, never really focused on email marketing. I was dead focused on SEO when I was doing client work, you know, way back in the day up until 2013 or so when I stopped taking on my own clients. So I never did email marketing. I did a little bit of AdWords, but not much, never did any Facebook advertising on my own. So I've had to learn that over the last year and a half. I totally personally feel that it's made me better in the big picture as a marketer to understand the different ways that these channels can reach a customer and how you attract them, you know, the lead gen side, the conversion side, all that sort of stuff. I mean, I feel like I'm better in the big picture. But on the other hand, I mean, we all know, right? In our industry, there's some people that are making a killing because they're super, super really talented at one specific thing.
Yep.
And so, I mean, if that's what you're willing to do and that makes you happy and you can make a business out of that, then why wouldn't you? I mean, if I loved SEO to the point where it was all I wanted to do and I could, you know, make a comfortable living doing just SEO now, then that's what I would do.
Well, we all know several people that just do affiliate marketing, even to this day, that's all they do and they kill it. So
exactly. And so I see both sides on that. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think there's a right or a wrong there. I think it's sort of a personal kind of thing. And you know, if you have the mindset to just hone in on one channel and one specialty and you can kill it and make a living doing it, then why wouldn't you? But, you know, at the same time, I enjoy the more well-rounded approach now because I've learned more in the last year and a half about digital marketing than I probably did in the 10 years prior to that. So, yeah, it's been good. I'm happy about that.
You know, go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, I think for some people, and I ran into this when I tried to go from in-house of 10 years to agency, they kept telling me that you have no agency experience. And I was like, but I had projects for the VP, the CMO, the CTO, the CFO who actually ran customer service. I'm like, you know, the CEO, I had projects for all these different groups, plus IT and dev and subgroups I would work on projects for. I'm like, they would all come through our marketing dev team. And I ran, you know, blah, 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 blah. But at an agency, they just saw it as you were in-house, so you clearly didn't do anything. And, you know, didn't know anything. And then I always looked at agency people sit and go, do you understand that you can get, you know, hey, SEO person, do you know you can get paid data from these PPC people and they will give you the exact keywords that converted? And why aren't you using that data? Hey, why don't you look at what's getting a click through on Facebook and what's on Twitter is getting liked and what headlines are being used in those ads? Like, I think for people that want to move up in companies and take over and oversee not just their specific, you know, little world, but take over all of search and social, take all of paid, all of, you know, organic and PR, I think you have to look outside the box, but also look outside and try to what are they doing? Like, if your PPC team and SEO team don't sit down and do A/B testing together, right, You're not sharing learnings. Yeah. I mean, it's just so many opportunities lost.
Yeah, that was when I was doing the agency type work with the company in Seattle. That was very frustrating. The politics and sort of all that gamesmanship between departments and all that sort of stuff. It wasn't fun at all. I can totally identify with that. It can be very, very challenging.
So we have just a few minutes left before we're going to wrap things up, Matt. So let me just get your quick thought on a couple questions. So where do you see digital marketing in the next 5 years, even 10 years?
Wow, 5 or 10 years. I think that SEO in the traditional sense is going to become less and less important. because, and I say that just because, look at what a search engine results page looks like and where that number one, quote, organic page or organic URL is showing up on the page anymore. It's, I saw there was a tweet like a week ago that said, you know, in 2011, if you were ranked number one for this term, you were 330 pixels from the top of the browser. And 2019, you're 1,200 pixels from the top of the browser. Because there's just so much other crap now above.
Oh, well, that was Andy Christodinos from Orbit Media.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. I thought that kind of crystallized, like, what is going on with, like, traditional SEO type stuff. And so, you know, in this day and age, it's about becoming the answer, right? And the brand, and that, you know, you need to own certain keywords so that you get that featured status, because your traditional blue link is going to not even be seen in most cases. So I think that's a kind of something that I'm watching and is sort of guiding me and my wife in our content creation, because we want to be the answer for a lot of those questions in real estate.
Great advice, man.
I'm curious. I don't know what the answer, what it's going to be like, but I'm just curious to see what all the, how things are going to evolve with all these voice devices we have. I mean, I have my Amazon show right over there. I've got an Alexa and a Google Home on the desk behind me. You know, there's all these things. So I'm fascinated by how that is going to continue to evolve as well.
Very cool. So I guess the final question that I have for you is, and this could be industry related, even if it's happens to be in your current industry with real estate, but who inspires or inspired you?
Who inspired or inspires me?
And you can't say Siltala's beard, because we know he does.
Siltala's beard is the by far the most inspirational Twitter account there is, and I think everyone should follow that for beard-related lols. So, the guy that runs that account is just a hysterical genius.
Phenomenal guy.
I don't know if you know him or not, but
I might know him.
No, you know, I don't know that I would call out like one person, but I would just say in the marketing industry, the people that inspire me the most are the ones that are looking out for others as much as themselves, and like helping, always willing to help people. And doing so in sort of a real, genuine, altruistic way, not a, boy, you know, I can improve my standing if I help you, you know, by helping others, I'm going to increase my own standing in the industry kind of stuff. I just think that, you know, the Perfect. People that are real and the people that are helpful and giving of themselves, I think that's like the most inspirational thing. And you know what, I'll call out one person specifically, because she has been incredibly helpful to me in two different occasions over the past month when I was struggling to learn something with Facebook ads. And Susan Winograd has reached out on Twitter and just solved my, I don't even remember what the issues were, but I was like, what is going on with the, and she like had the answer for me within like 10 minutes. And so that kind of stuff, and she's not alone, like she's been super helpful, but there are others that do this. And so to me, I think that's super inspirational. And I think we should all do more of that.
That's awesome, and I appreciate you sharing that. I love Susan. I chat with her on the daily, and she's awesome. She's always so helpful, and that's perfect into just how I kind of want to wrap this up. And that's one of the things like that led me to you. And I know that when we first met and when we were first on a panel, like you were just always so helpful to me, and you always answered my questions. And I think we just we hit it off, and we became good friends for lots of reasons, but that's just one of the things that drew me to you. You were always so helpful with just, anything I ever brought to you or bothered you with. You didn't seem bothered with it, even if you were. But anyway, so I appreciate that, and I appreciate our friendship over the years and how it's grown. And,
likewise.
And again, I hope that our listeners have appreciated this, and this kind of this jog down memory lane. And a big shout out again to you, Matt, for taking your time and joining us and being on the show. So thank you.
It's been a pleasure chatting with both of you. And if I can ever come on and talk about real estate, anything that real estate needs, I'd be happy to do so.
We might take you up on that.
Okay.
So thank you guys. Well, for Matt McGee and Dave Rohr, I'm Matt Siltala, and we're so grateful.
And Siltala's beard.
Yeah, and syphilis beard. As always, anything we've talked about, you'll have links to it. You'll be able to reach out to us, check out the episode. And anyway, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Thanks.